This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Jumbo Glacier is a year-round ski resort that's being planned for the high peaks and glaciers of the Jumbo Pass between Argenta and Invermere in the Purcell Mountains. For the past 20 years, locals, environmentalists, and First Nations have opposed the development. The resort proposal, located in the heart of Gotmuk, threatens critical grizzly bear habitat and ignores the sacred value of the area to the Tunahar Nation. The decision on the resort had been recently handed from the regional level to the province, and an announcement was expected mid-November. On November 15th, the Tunaha brought a delegation to the legislature in Victoria to deliver a declaration of sovereignty over Gotmuk and express their intent to protect the area from destruction. Following the Tunaha's declaration, the BC government's Assistant Deputy Minister of Natural Resource Operations, overseeing the situation, said the decision is officially stalled. We're going to speak in a few moments with Tunaha Nation Council Chair Catherine Tenise, but first we're joined by Robin Duncan. She's the Purcell Program Manager for WildSight. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Jane.
Now, this Jumbo Glacier Ski Resort would be built 55 kilometers west of Invermere. Can you describe the terrain and environment in the area that would be affected?
Sure. So, you're correct. It would be located 55 kilometers west of Invermere, and it's accessible at this point only by a very rough Forest Service road. And they have the Four Seasons Ski Resort planned for four glaciers. So, we're talking about very, what I would call gnarly and extremely beautiful terrain of the four glaciers, Jumbo Glacier, Karnak Glacier, Commander Glacier, and Farnham Glacier.
What kind of development would that ski hill bring to the area?
Well, in full build-out, they plan to have more than 20 lifts to access these four glaciers, build more than 6,000 beds to host staff and visitors, and host a myriad number of townhouses, condominiums, and other forms of permanent residences.
That's a tremendous amount of development in that area.
It is indeed.
What do we know about the importance of the area for the grizzly bear population?
Well, we've always recognized this area as extremely important for wildlife, in particular for the grizzly bear, to function both as core habitat and as a wildlife corridor. And there was recent data released this summer by Dr. Michael Proctor, an internationally renowned grizzly bear biologist, which solidifies this and highlights the absolute critical importance of maintaining the grizzly bear population, not only in Jumbo Creek and its adjacent watersheds, but all around. His data shows us that the Jumbo Creek grizzly bear is really critical to maintaining the populations in the entire Purcell Mountain Range.
Oh, and why is it so critical?
Any large-scale development, like the proposed Jumbo Glacier Resort, would seriously fragment the wildlife habitat around the area, and it would challenge the ability of the grizzly bear to move both north and south. In fact, there's only two viable transboundary wildlife corridors for four species like the grizzly bear and the wolverine to cross back and forth across the Canadian-U.S. border, and the Purcell Mountain Corridor is one of these. And it's for this reason that the Yellowstone to Yukon Conservation Initiative also considers the Purcell Mountains one of its priority working areas. So really, the Jumbo Glacier Resort would seriously fragment the ability of the grizzly bear to move north and south along the mountain range.
Now, I understand that Dr. Michael Proctor, who you just mentioned, actually sent a letter to the government of BC about this, which was an uncharacteristic thing for him to do?
Indeed, yes. He just felt with all of this new data that he collated in the summer of 2010 that the government needed to be aware. Not only were the government's numbers of grizzly bears that lived in the Purcells inaccurate, but he just recognized once getting the data that the Jumbo Creek Valley and the adjacent watersheds are extremely critical to the entire Purcell grizzly bear, and he needed the government to know this, to have this up-to-date information, which, in their speaking for the government's good decision-making, they have taking this information in and are now doing a full-scale review through the Ministry of Environment. So it's very positive.
Aside from the destruction of the critical bear habitat there, what other environmental impacts would the development cause?
Well, putting a massive highway up into this pristine wilderness area would be hugely detrimental to the core wilderness areas that are around. The Jumbo Glacier Resort is located very near to the Purcell Wilderness Conservancy, which is just an outstanding piece of protected wilderness in southern British Columbia, something we don't have very many of. And it would just have huge impacts onto that conservancy area and the wildlife corridor.
Now, we're going to be speaking shortly with Catherine Tenise of the Tunaha Nation, and they have opposed the resort all the way along. What other local and province-wide opposition is there to the project?
Well, like we've always said, for this 20 years since the beginning that it's been proposed, there's been absolute steadfast resistance from the local community. As an example, in 2004, the Environmental Assessment Office called for public input on the Jumbo Glacier Resort. There were nearly 6,000 individual responses that were submitted, 91% of which were opposed. The Council of the District of Invermere, the town closest to this proposed development, has passed resolution stating its opposition to the development. Numerous local groups have been fighting this since the beginning, like us at WildSite, the Jumbo Creek Conservation Society, West Kootenai Eco Society, West Kootenai Coalition for Jumbo Wild, and many other local groups. We've had many celebrity personalities join the campaign, such as Scott Niedermeyer, NHL hockey player, Olympian Becky Scott, Canadian mountaineer Pat Morrow. And recently, this fall, we've had many other provincial environmental organizations join the call to get the message into Victoria that people want to keep Jumbo Wild.
Now, it's interesting because often in these kinds of situations, there will be a conflict of interest of the local people who need jobs and people who want to preserve the environment. But that's not the case in this situation?
That's not the case in this situation at all. There has been steadfast opposition from the beginning, from the local population.
And why is it that they haven't wanted those jobs of that the resort construction would bring in?
Well, the East and West Kootenai regions already host a large number of ski resorts, and they're all struggling to be economically viable. And the main reason that they do maintain viability economically is through real estate sales. And first off, the people in the Kootenai region don't want to see another ski resort in the area. We think that if we're going to invest in developing ski resorts, we should focus on those that are already there in operation. And secondly, if the Jumbo Glacier Resort was to be approved, there would no doubt be an influx of short-term construction jobs, but I stress that it would be short-term jobs only. And based on the models that have been used at other ski resorts in our areas, we see that they frequently bring in construction firms from other cities, so it doesn't mean that these jobs are necessarily going to benefit our local communities.
Now, opponents of a proposed resort near Squamish have claimed that the resort is not viable, and they say that it's really a land grab to build expensive condos. Is there any sense that a similar motivation is behind this development?
Indeed, there is. Ski resorts maintain their economic viability through real estate sales, so using the term land grab would not be far off at all for this situation either.
What kind of support do you need to defeat this project?
We need the people of British Columbia to help us deliver that message to Victoria loud and clear. If people can go to the website, jumbowild.com, we have a very easy-to-use email form that they can send in this message to Victoria. And we ask people to help in writing letters, so if they would like to use the email form or write their own letter, they can direct these letters to Minister Thompson, the Minister of Natural Resource Operations, who is the man in charge of this decision. We also ask people to sign up and receive email updates and important action alerts as this campaign moves along, and also to spread the word. We know that when people make their voices heard, the government has no choice but to listen. And then I would also ask people to really support the Tunaha Nation's important Gatmuk Declaration, which I know you'll hear all about in just a moment.
Well, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning, Robin.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Robin Duncan. She's the Purcell Program Manager for WildSite. The area where the Jumbo Glacier Resort is being proposed for lies at the heart of Gatmuk, the traditional territory of the Tunaha Nation. 2 weeks ago, the Tunaha sent a 50-member delegation to deliver the Gatmuk Declaration and Stewardship Principles to the provincial legislature in Victoria. And now I'm joined by Catherine Tenise. She's the Tunaha Council National Council Chair. Hello, Catherine.
Good morning.
Now, why is the area that's being threatened with development important to you?
Well, it's a critical part of our territory. I guess that could be considered to be the holder of some spiritual values that are very important to us.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, the area that known as Gutmuk is the home of not only the physical grizzly bear, but also the home of the what we call the grizzly bear spirit, which in our beliefs is the strongest spiritual guide of the Dinuha Nation. And so it's obviously something that we want to ensure that is afforded protection as much as we possibly can, given the amount of involvement in the infringement or desecration even that has taken place already.
So it's much more than just a large predator in the area that you hope to preserve. It's deeply important to your culture.
Yes. Yeah, it's something that we as Dinuha people are very protective of in terms of our spirituality, and that's part of the reason that we haven't spoken of it prior to now, because we had expected that the information that had been provided through the various processes that your earlier guest spoke about that would have been sufficient for the government to come to a conclusion that the idea of a development in that area was not viable and didn't make a whole lot of sense. However, when it became apparent to us that that wasn't carrying the day and was obviously not being given the level of consideration that it should have been, that we had from the beginning identified the area as an area of spiritual importance. However, we had not elaborated because that is not something that we do.
What led to the decision to take a declaration to Victoria?
Well, we were sort of watching the developments as they were unfolding, and the messaging that we were getting seemed to lead to a conclusion that the government was moving down the road towards approval. And we thought, well, we need to be very crystal clear where we stand in terms of involvement in that part of our territory, whether it's this project or any other kind of activity that is in opposition to what we identified as principles in our declaration and accompanying stewardship principles. So we thought, well, we better be very clear. We're going out on a limb, and we're putting on the record for all to see our connection to that place and what we are prepared to do in order to ensure the protection of that place.
Now, you set out stewardship principles and some explicit environmental approaches. What is your plan for Gutmuk?
Well, that's what we've identified as in our declaration. We've indicated that we are prepared to sit down with whoever is interested in developing a management plan, but we want to ensure that the key areas that we identified as the refuge area and the buffer zone, that the integrity of those places is protected as best we can. And that's not to say that other activities cannot occur within, you know, within the area known as Gutmuk, but we want to ensure that the concerns that we have are taken into consideration as we move forward.
What does your declaration say about the proposed development of a ski hill?
We don't really make specific reference, because it's not just about the ski hill. You know, obviously the proposed ski hill is in the area, but we are speaking to Gutmuk as it relates to our right as a nation of people to protect and to afford protection to areas that are of spiritual concern to us as referenced, for example, in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People.
Now, you mentioned the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People and your delegation coming just days after that ratification by the Government of Canada. How do you hope that that will influence the future of your sovereignty over this area?
Well, the declaration sets out the minimum standards on which the rights of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and in their territories are afforded protection and are afforded consideration and must be afforded consideration and the ability to give free, prior, and informed consent on decisions that impact on the future of those Indigenous people. So we're hoping that we can use that and work towards pushing the implementation of those minimum standards and, in fact, increasing what those standards are in terms of how things happen on Dinka territory.
What kind of support do you need from both other governments and from non-government organizations, from people listening to you right now?
Well, what we're looking for is for people to inform themselves about who we are, number one, and our relationship to our territory, and develop and build an understanding of why we're bringing forward the information that we have brought forward, and hoping that we can work with others in terms of ensuring that the stewardship responsibilities that we have as Dinka people in relation to our homeland, that we can indeed fulfill our obligations that have been given to us as part of who we are as a people and our connection to our territory.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Catherine, and I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Catherine Tenise. She's the Tunaha Nation Council Chair, and you can visit the website beforejumbo.org to learn more about this area and about their campaign.